God, send up some praise to this king that she's singing about. Lord, we love you, we adore you, we praise you, we magnify your name, sweet Jesus. Righteous is the Lamb of God, righteous is the Lamb of God, hallelujah. Holy is my Lord, holy is my Savior. I bless you, Jesus. I bless you, Jesus. I bless you, Lord. I bless you. I adore you tonight. We worship you, Almighty God. We bless you in the house. We bless you. We bless you. We adore you. Holy is the Lamb of God. We exalt you, Almighty One of heaven. Glorious King of kings and Lord of lords. Praise God, praise God, praise God. Amen. Wonderful presence of the Lord. Let's turn into the Word of the Lord, Book of Mark, chapter 9, verse number 29. We are also going to be reading from the Book of Matthew, chapter number 17, verses 14 through 17. And this month is a special month for prayer and fasting. So we are going to talk tonight as we launch off the month of August. We're going to talk tonight about fasting a little bit. Of course, it is an immense subject, but we are going to try to look into the fasting and what it does, the power that is in fasting. We don't want to just go through rituals for the next 4 weeks on Tuesdays and Thursdays. We're not just simply doing it because we happen to be members of the Pentecostals of the Palm Beaches or because Pastor asked us to do it. If we're going to do it, let's do it with power. Let's do it with passion. Let's get results. As Kamora said, if you got to skip your lobster, you might as well get some results out of it. And touch God and be productive in what we are attempting to do in touching the Lord, believing the Lord Jesus Christ, trusting in the Lord Jesus Christ for all that he is going to do for this great assembly. Mark chapter 9 and verse number 29. And he said unto them, Jesus speaking to his disciples, he said unto them, this kind can come forth by nothing but by prayer and fasting. Everybody say, this kind. Matthew chapter 17, verses 14 through 17. These scriptures are taken from the same story, just a different writer. And this, of course, is the story when the man approached Jesus about his son, whom the Bible calls a lunatic, possessed with devils, casting himself into the fire, and had told him that your disciples, I brought him to your disciples, they were not able to cast him out. This is the story that we're dealing with. Matthew chapter 17, and when they were come to the multitude, there came to him a certain man kneeling down to him and saying, Lord, have mercy on my son, for he is lunatic and sore vexed, for oft times he falleth into the fire and oft into the water. So the devil couldn't burn him. I guess he was trying to drown him. And I brought him to thy disciples, and they could not cure him. Then Jesus answered and said, O faithless and perverse generation, how long shall I be with you? Now look at the words of the Lord here. How long shall I be with you? How long shall I suffer you? Bring him hither to me. And the scripture goes on to let us know that he cast out the devils that dwelled in this young boy. and raised him up, and he was cured, healed, and delivered. Lord, we thank you for your word. We pray in the next few minutes tonight that you will help the preacher touch my mind and my heart. I pray that this subject gets into our spirits. Lord, that in the next weeks to come, when we fast before you on Tuesdays and Thursdays, that, Lord, we will have a sense of understanding, and there will be a power that comes out of it, and there will be results that come forth from it, and that the devil will be bound and the power of God will be loosed, and we will see great things happen in the kingdom of the Lord. And everybody say, thank you, Jesus. Amen, amen. God bless you. You may be seated. So we look into the word of the Lord, into this story where this father brings his son to the disciples, but they prayed over him. They no doubt called on the name of the Lord Jesus Christ as they had done before. Prior in the word of God, we find that Jesus sent them out and he told his disciples, he said, I give you power. He said, now go forth and heal the sick, cast out devils, and do many wondrous works in my name. And we find that they came back to him later saying, Lord, we have cast out devils in your name. We have cured sickness in your name, just like you said that it would happen. And so no doubt in the minds of the disciples that there was no difference in this situation. When the dad brought the son who was lunatic, who was possessed of devils, when he brought the son to the disciples, I'm sure they went through the same little ritual that they had always done. And they had already cast out devils. They had already healed the sick. And so they weren't really concerned. Yet, for some reason, when they begin to call the name of their Lord over this young man, when they began to speak the word of faith and they began to exercise the power that the Lord Jesus had given them, nothing happened with this man. He continued to be possessed of demons, and the disciples had to scratch their head and wonder what was going on here. What happened? However, for some reason, we're not sure, the disciples did not come to Jesus and say, Lord, we tried to cast this one out, but it didn't happen. Maybe they were ashamed. Maybe they got preoccupied. We're not sure. But the dad was persistent. And when the lower level of power could not get it accomplished, he bypassed the disciples and he went straight to Jesus. And he said, Jesus, I have a son whom I brought to your disciples. I saw them cast devils out of other men. I saw them heal diseases of all kind. But they were unable to cure my son. It is interesting the words that Jesus used here. He looked at them and he said, O faithless and perverse generation, how long shall I be with you? Jesus established something with this statement. He made it known and he caused it to be made realized that there are some things which required his presence if it was going to get done. Praise God, praise God. Now, he walked amongst men. The Bible says he would heal all manners of diseases. He would cast out demons, and he cast out the devil of this particular one right here. And he made it known that it wasn't the power that was the problem, but that there was another problem that existed, and it was a faithless and perverse generation. And so Jesus just establish something here. There's something about his presence. There's something about him being there that makes the difference. Now let's hold on to that and let's go to Matthew chapter 9 and verse number 14 and 15. Then came to him the disciples of John saying, why do we, the Pharisees, fast often, but the disciples fast not? Look at the answer. And Jesus said unto them, can the children of the bridechamber mourn as long as the bridegroom is with them? But the day will come when the bridegroom's going to be taken away. And then, read it.
It's not up there.
Here we go. And then, thank you. Thank you. Thank you, sister. I'm glad you're here tonight. I appreciate you. Now, how about the other 150 of you? And then, so Jesus, in this earlier incident, he made it plain that some things will only take place if his presence is there. The disciples tried to cast him out, but he wouldn't go. But Jesus showed up and said, out of here, and the lunatic was healed. But Jesus, if anybody understood something, he understood this, that there would come a day when he would not be walking with them anymore. Something had to take his place. He told the servants of John, he said, as long as I'm with them, they don't need to fast. Why? My power's here. My presence is here. I'm with them physically. But the day's going to come. Now watch me. What did he tell them in the other scriptures? He said, you faithless and perverse generation. I have to be right here with you if it's going to happen. But the day's going to come. I'm going to leave. So something must take place which will increase your faith and which will purify your soul so that you are no longer pervert. Then, even though I'm not here, the power will be there. My presence will be there. What is it? He said, when I go away, they must fast. Woo! Because we all know fasting does something to the flesh. It does something to the mind. Every one of us in this building, we know this from experience. When you've been fasting for a day or two, or maybe three, and you walk into your prayer closet, or you step into a place of prayer, it's like the presence of God meets you. There's something about fasting that cleanses this body, both physically and spiritually, and the presence of God shows up, and Jesus said, when I'm there, anything can happen. When I'm there, devils will be cast out. Diseases will be cured. I know I must go away, but if you will fast, my presence will come. Your faith will be increased. My God. Look at your neighbor and say, water break. Thank you. Y'all aren't working, so you don't need water. He said, as long as the bridegroom is with them, the days will come when the bridegroom shall be taken away from them, then shall they fast. It appears here that the physical presence of Jesus Christ is being replaced with the fasting that he commands us to do. Of course, it wasn't his body that did it. It was the fact that he was the embodiment of God himself. And so if we're going to stand in the presence of God and we're going to get the presence of God upon us, then we must learn to discipline and, as the Bible calls it, afflict this flesh
through fasting and prayer. He said these things come about but by fast. Another place he says, but by fasting and prayer. What is the fasting takes care of the body. The fasting purifies the soul. The fasting purifies the mind and the spirit. And even the physical body is purified through fasting. But when we enter into prayer, the presence of God shows up. And when we are in fasting and Jesus, it's as though he's right there with us. Then we can take care of the lunatics. We can take care of the diseases. He will hear our prayers. He will answer our prayers.
Everybody say this kind. Jesus used very unique words. He made separation. He made distinction. He said this kind. Now he didn't draw it out and give details, and we don't have all the little ins and outs of it, but Jesus obviously made a distinction. The disciples had cast out other devils. They had cured other diseases, but yet when it came to the lunatic, they could not cast out that devil. Jesus said this kind. There was something about the particular kind of rank of devil that was possessed in this young man. He said, how long has he been with him? I'm not really sure why Jesus asked that question, except maybe to make it known. It doesn't matter how long the devil's been messing with you. When you get a hold of Jesus, he's got the power to cast him out. That dad said he's been with him since he was a kid. Okay, come on now. It's time. It's over. It's through. You're finished. Get out. Go.
But he said this kind. I want to tell you, I know every generation before me and every generation before that generation has certainly said the same thing. We've all said, this is the worst generation. There's nothing like this generation. Our generation says, when I was a kid, and their generation said, when I was a kid, and their generation said, when I was a kid, and it goes on and on. I understand all of that, but I am here to tell you that there are devils loosed on this earth, and they have tools and weapons in this generation that they have never had. They have the media, they have the internet, they have television, they have books, they have magazines, they have our school system. They've got all kinds of things, all kinds of drugs and all kinds of mess out there that they're dealing with. I believe that we live in this kind of generation. I think we live in the generation that Jesus was talking about. This can't come out but by prayer and fasting. And if we're going to be a church that's going to impact our city, we've got to be a church that learns how to fast and learns how to pray and touch God. Because I'm going to tell you, if we don't do it, we're going to show up at the old man's lunatic boy, and we're going to speak it, and we're going to holler it, we're going to try it, and nothing's going to happen. But if we'll fast and if we'll pray, Jesus will show up, and when we speak, the devil will go.
We live in that kind of a generation where the powers of darkness, they hide behind our politics, they hide in our government, they hide in our religion, our riches, they hide in fame and position, they hide in education, law enforcement, programs, they hide in parents and in children, medical advances, and all kinds of entertainment. They have intertwined themselves in everything that there is. There are these and many more that have blinded the eyes of this generation. And only a church that has learned how to fast and how to pray will be able to reveal these demonic powers and cast them out. Can you say amen? It is this kind that we must deal with if we are going to have revival in our city. Somebody say revival in West Palm Beach. Touch your neighbor and say, wake up, sweetie. We're not living in Kansas. In fact, we're living in West Palm Beach, Florida.
Let me give you just a couple statistics. 90% of all of the wealth in the world owns a home somewheres in this county. Every conceivable sin is being committed in this county. We decided the presidential election only a few years ago, and one of the tourist attractions of the world is right here in this area. The Pentecostals of the Palm Beaches have never been at a greater place to make an impact. And I've come to tell this church tonight, we are not a social club. We are not a social gathering. We are the army of the living God. We are the only hope this city has. We're the only hope some marriages have. We're the only hope some young people have. We're the only hope some diseased have. We're the only hope some drug addict has. It's time for the church to arise, draw the sword of the Spirit, and go to battle for revival. And it's going to be done with prayer and fasting. Worship Him, He's worthy. We are not here to minister to the temporal, physical pleasures of man, but we are here to minister to the eternal soul. The greatest war in all of time is being waged for the hearts and souls of men. It is the church, the Pentecostals of the Palm Beaches, who must deal with the hidden agenda of Satan. We cannot be blinded ourselves if we expect to help the blind. For Jesus said, the blind leadeth the blind, and they both fall in a ditch. If we make this proclamation that we are the church of the living God, then we must be able to deliver to them everything that the Word of God promises. We must be able to strengthen ourselves so that we may strengthen them. We must be a church who is capable of casting out any devil, healing any disease, giving direction to the lost, giving hope to the hopeless. Hallelujah. I feel the Holy Ghost in this place. Let the Pentecostals of the Palm Beaches arise. Let us put on the whole armor of God. Let us deny the flesh. Let us afflict our flesh. Let us seek the face of God. Let God's presence come amongst us, that revival might come to this city. Somebody say this kind. But I want to tell you, we have the power to cast out this kind. If we'll reach for it, if we'll believe God for it, if we'll cleanse ourselves. And spend just a few more minutes. Isaiah 58, it's a very popular chapter concerning fasting. I want us to look at a few things in it. The prophet Isaiah prophesies as the Holy Ghost moves upon him. And he says, is God speaking here, is not this the fast I have chosen? And this is what God wants us to do. When we go into fasting and into prayer, this is what God expects the results to be. And if we just do it as a ritual, we're not going to get these results. But if we mix prayer with our fasting and we become sincere in what we're doing, then we can expect these results. He said, is this not the fast that I have chosen? To loose the bands of wickedness. Let me tell you, when you go into fasting, I just want to warn you, if you get serious about it, God's going to reveal things about you. Don't worry about your neighbor. I found out that people are always worried about their neighbor or people who are too scared to look at themselves.
He says, to loose the bands of wickedness. God is going to reveal things to me. He will reveal things to you about us, about ourselves, that we can clean up, that we can fix, that we can make better, so that our relationship is stronger with God and more close with Him, to undo heavy burdens, to let the oppressed go free, and that you break every yoke. I want to tell you, fasting is powerful. God have mercy. You got a church that knows how to fast. When that alcoholic comes through those doors and he walks down to this altar drunk, the power of God will be here so strong, it will sober him up, fill him with the Holy Ghost, and deliver him from alcohol. He'll take nicotine out of the heart, drugs out of the heart, out of the soul, out of the body. He'll cast out demons. When a church knows how to fast and pray, it will loose the bands of wickedness. It will break every yoke of sin. Woo! Somebody say, woo! Fasting will give you power over selfishness. Look at your neighbor and say, you selfish thing, you. You know you are. I get so mad when my wife catches me hiding eating the last ice cream cone. I said, well, baby, how do you cut up an ice cream cone in 6 pieces? Somebody's got to eat it. The way I looked at it, if I wouldn't have ate it, it would have caused grief and strife and anger amongst everybody else. I'm trying to preserve the family, be a leader. Okay, you believe all that. Fasting will give us power over selfishness. Look at verse number 7. Is it not to deal thy bread to the hungry, and that thou bring the poor that are cast out of thy house? When thou seest the naked, that thou cover him, and that thou hide not thyself from thine own flesh. Power fasting will strip selfishness from you. And all of a sudden you will want to share everything you have. You will want to bless those who are less fortunate. You won't find yourself hoarding everything up in a closet somewheres and hiding it here and hiding it there. But revelation will come that God will provide for me my daily bread. And if I got bread today and you don't, then honey, sit down. We'll eat bread together. And tomorrow we'll depend on God to give us some more bread. If you'll learn how to fast, it'll rip selfishness right out of you. And sometimes that hurts. Sometimes that's very painful. But it won't do nothing but draw you closer to God. Fasting will give you power over sickness. Verse 8. Then shall thy light break forth as the morning. Thine health shall spring forth speedily. Thy righteousness shall go before thee. And the glory of the Lord shall be thy reward. My God, have mercy. You know what the scientists say today? They say that if everybody fasted 3 days a month, 90% of all diseases would disappear. Just go. Because you've cleansed your body, and your body was made to repair itself. But when poison is constantly being pumped through, and if you don't think your food's poisoned, you're crazy. It's poisoned when they grow it. It's poisoned when they process it. It's poison when you cook it. It's got 3 layers of poison by the time it gets to your mouth. But your body is amazing. However, we can give it a great boost if we'll just cleanse it every once in a while. Fasting's good for your health. God knew that. He said, if you'll fast, he said, thy light shall break forth as the morning. In other words, it'll make you a brand new person. It'll change you. He said, thine health shall spring forth speedily. It'll bring health to your body. Thy righteousness shall go before thee, and the glory of the Lord shall be thy reward. Say, thank you, Pastor, for making us starve.
power. Fasting will give you power in prayer. Look at verse 9. Then shalt thou call, and the Lord shall answer. Thou shalt cry, and he shall say, here I am. If thou take away from the midst of thee the yoke, putting forth the finger and speaking vanity, if thou draw out the soul to the hungry and satisfy the afflicted soul, then shall thy light rise in obscurity, and thy darkness be as noonday. God said, when you fast and you open your mouth, I'll stand up and say, here I am. What do you need? What do you want? I'm here for you. Come on, Pentecostals of the Palm Beaches. We have a need. Let's fast. Let's pray. Let's call on God. He will answer. Clap your hands to the Lord and give him praise. Fasting will give you power in your walk with God. And I'm coming to a close. Verse 11, the Lord shall guide thee continually. Remember at the beginning of this, he said, this is the fast I've chosen. When you fast, he said, I will guide thee continually. Now come on, let's be honest. Isn't most of our problems the fact that we don't have God guiding us continually? And we make a lot of decisions and then we get in trouble, so we pray and fast and God shows up, starts guiding us again, gets us out of our mess, straightens us up, knowing all things, knowing you're going to fall right back in the ditch. But he loves us. Hallelujah. Amen. The Lord shall guide thee continually. If you fast, he said, I will satisfy thy soul in drought. I will make fat thy bones, and thou shalt be like a watered garden and like a spring of water whose waters fail not. What a powerful verse. The Lord said, if you fast, this is what I'll do for you. Fasting will give you power in the kingdom. Verse 12. And they that shall be of thee shall build the old waste places. And thou shalt raise up the foundations of many generations. And thou shalt be called the repairer of the breach and the restorer to the paths to dwell in. He said, if you'll fast, I'll bring revival. If this church will fast and pray, he said, you'll become the restorer of the breaches, the broken bridges. He said, you'll build them back and people will be able to cross back over into my presence. You'll build bridges for the lost souls that are out there that are wandering and cannot find their way. He said, you'll repair the breaches and they'll make their way back over into the kingdom of God. He said, if you'll fast and pray. Why will he do that? Because a church that fasts and prays is a church that God can trust. It is a church that he can send souls that have been broken and abused by the world and abused by sin and have been made fun of and hurt and done wrong. And the last thing the Lord wants to do is send them to a church who's going to make fun of them and hurt them and do them wrong. But if you're a church that fasts and pray, then God can trust you with the souls of men. And he knows that when he ushers them in there, that we're going to hold them tight. We're going to love them. We're going to pray for them. We're going to help them. We're going to work with them. We're going to do everything that we can to see that they make it in the kingdom of God. And so summing this up and coming to a close, the Lord said, if we will, these are the things we have to do. We have to remove perversion from our midst. We have to stop accusations. God says, I don't want you accusing one another. Don't you know who the accuser is? The only one in the Bible ever called the accuser. Don't you know who that is? That is Satan. And when you are accusing, you are more like Satan than you are anything else. Is that what you want? So God said, you want me to be in your midst? Get perversion out from among you. Doing things that are perverted, stop them. He's not going to kill you. He's here to save you. Just stop doing them. Get them out from among you. He will forgive you, and he will love you, and he will redeem you. He said, stop making accusations. Cease your evil speech. Stop sowing discord. Stop talking about one another. Start lifting up one another. I got a wonderful email from a brother just today, Brother Black. He's a pastor up north. He said, Pastor Kyle, I just wanted to email you and tell you, me and Pastor so-and-so were together. We were talking wonderful things about you, praying for you, lifting you up. God bless you and your work in West Palm Beach. That made me feel so good. That gave me so much strength. Why don't we quit talking bad about one another? Start talking good about one another. My Lord, have mercy. I want to tell you, it's going to bring a strength to us. It'll do something to this congregation like we could never imagine. The power of God will come into our midst, and fasting and prayer will do this. Remove perversion. Stop accusations. Cease evil speech. Offer our soul to the hungry. Satisfy the afflicted. God said, if you'll do these things, he said, I will cause, or God will cause, our light to burst out like dawn, healing to come forth, righteous deeds to precede us. And it goes on to say, and that he will cause the glory of the Lord to gather us in, and that he will respond to our cry and say, here I am. He will guide us in all our ways. He will satisfy our soul, and he will strengthen our bones. That's what he will do. Then we will, because of what he did, we will be like a watered garden in a spring of water whose waters never fail. Rebuild the ancient ruins. Restore the generations of old foundations. Be called the repairer of the breach and the restorer of past habitations. All of this the church will become because God will do what he did if we will do what he asked. And all of this happens if we will fast and pray. Amen. Fasting reminds us of our humanity. 5 more minutes of your time, and I'll be done. Fasting reminds us of our humanity. It is a way of letting us know that we're not eternal, and we're not quite as strong and powerful as we think we are. Think about it. You run out of fuel for just a couple of days, and you can barely crawl out of bed. You're weak, you're down, you're out, you're tired, you're handicapped, you become dependent. Fasting helps us to recognize our humanity. Fasting is one of the most powerful tools to humble you, or at least it should be. Because first of all, there is self-denial in fasting. We deny our physical appetites of our body for a short time, and we humble ourselves before the Lord. Because we are seeking something after him. What are we doing? We are recognizing when we go into fasting and we weaken our flesh. We are recognizing and we are saying to God, Lord, what I need from you, I can't do in this old flesh. We are making ourselves to recognize not only to ourselves but before the Lord that God, this flesh, I thought it could do it. I thought I could figure it out. I thought I could work it out. I thought I could make it. But God, I've just made a big mess of everything. And so when we fast and pray, we are letting God know that we recognize that our flesh is not capable of doing it. Of course, fasting is a sign of our desire. Let's stand. We're letting God know it's not just a simple prayer anymore. I'm not just getting up in the morning. I'm not just seeking you in prayer and going about my day and reading the word. No, Lord, this has become urgent. You're letting God know that you're serious about what it is that you're talking about. You're serious enough to actually stop eating, put that aside, and spend the time that you would have spent eating in the presence of the Lord and talking to God and calling out to his name. We are letting God know that we're serious about what's going on. And lastly, the last point I'm going to make is probably more powerful than anything else, and that is fasting exposes who we are. I touched on that earlier. I want to tell you, I've always made this statement, and
the closer I get to God, the more I believe this statement. But I want to tell you, it seems like the closer you get to God, the further away you realize, or you realize just how far away you really are. The closer you get into His presence, the more of you is revealed. And God doesn't do that to hurt us. He does that to help us. When gold is put into the furnace to purify it, or silver, to purify the heat, as it melts, the impurities come to the top. They are skimmed off, put off to the side as an impure silver. And they continue to do that until it gets pure and pure and pure. However, there's sometimes that there are impurities in there that the blacksmith can't seem to get out. So he'll have to send it to a hotter stage. And he heats it up even more. He doesn't give up. He just heats it up more. In fact, what you find is that the gold and the silver that they realize has the potential of becoming 24 karat gold, which is pure gold. I don't know what the carats are on silver, but or how they measure it. But the pure silver and the pure gold, when they realize that they have a quantity that can be made pure, it is that gold and that silver that gets put through the most hottest flame to bring out all of its impurities. So when you're getting close to God and all you seems like He's just turning up the heat, or just scrubbing harder on you, revealing things to you, it's like, hey, God, give me a break. No, no, no. Why? Because you have the potential of becoming something mighty in My kingdom. And fasting and prayer will put us in the hands of the potter, and He will certainly work vigorously in our life. And we need to be willing to yield our hearts and our minds and our spirits to Him. And so I plead with us tonight, every eye closed, every mind on God, I plead with us tonight. I ask you, let's take this time of fasting and prayer serious. On Tuesdays and Thursdays, put time aside to pray. And those of you that are capable of joining us in the multi-purpose room, I know it's not the greatest place in the world, but it's all we got. And those of you that are able to join us, then come and join us Thursday night at 7. We're there, 40, 50 of us, praying, seeking God. If the room fills up, then we can walk outside. The men can go outside. The women can stay inside in the air conditioning, unless they want to walk, whatever. But prayer, we can come together and seek the face of God in prayer. So find time to pray during this time of fasting. Take this serious and let God do a work in our lives. Reach over, get your neighbor's hand. Father, in the mighty name of Jesus, I am so grateful for Your power and Your presence. Lord, you walked with the disciples, but You told them the day would come when You would no longer be their physical, and that they would have to be able to take care of these kinds of spirits and to do the work that You're doing in the body at the time. And Lord, You told them, You told the disciples of John, You said, the way that this is done is through fasting. And that if they will fast when I go, if they will fast, My presence will be there. They will humble themselves. My power will be upon them. And they will be able to work. God, the Pentecostals of the Palm Beaches, as we call ourselves, Father, we come before You with prayer and fasting. We humble our souls before You. We ask You, God, to cleanse us of all of our sin. Help us to remove the perverted things from our life. Reveal things to us that we're not even aware of, God. Reveal ourselves to us that we might cleanse our heart, cleanse our mind, cleanse our spirit, and draw close to you, oh God. Lord, let this church be a church that seeks for the souls of men. Let this church be a church that, God, that revival becomes their focus. Revival is everything to us, oh God. Reaching for the souls of men, seeing men and women pray through to the power of the Holy Ghost being redeemed. Oh God, let us be consumed with that. And that comes through prayer and fasting. Let us be a church who loves one another, helps one another, uplifts one another, encourages one another, strengthens one another. Oh God, let us be that kind of a church. Father, let us be a church that the word is spread about all over town. If you want to be loved, go there. If you want to be helped, go there. If you need deliverance, go there. If you need healing, go there. Oh, whatever you need from God, go there. Oh Lord, let us be that kind of church where you're in our midst. Your power's here. Your anointing's here. We pray together, God. We come together right now. That is our heartbeat. That is our prayer tonight. That is our hope, oh God, that you would come into our midst, that you would change us, transform us, remake us, renew us, make us into that people, make us into that body, God, mold us, reshape us into that body that you would have us to be, that we might touch the hearts and the minds of men, work upon our lives as individuals, that the church itself might be changed. Oh God, that is our prayer, that is our prayer, that is our prayer, that is our prayer. We ask it in the mighty name of the Lord Jesus. Let's give him praise. Let's give him praise. He's a wonderful God. He's a wonderful God. He's a wonderful God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Amen, amen, amen. God bless you. I love you. Let's take our month of fasting and prayer serious. Let's seek the face of God. Lord bless you. Have a wonderful night. I hope to see you in prayer tomorrow out on the property at 7 o'clock. God bless.